to Yebo, right there, yeah. Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. As always, we're here until the hour of six, and we're yet again here with another exciting, with another exciting topic. During the launch of NDP6, one thing that was also emphasized by the president, apart from agriculture, the emphasis on agriculture and food insecurities, among others, was that of sports and the creative sector, and how we basically have to build this, build these sectors to the point where they are not only, some type of a fallback. And today's discussion is somewhat headed in the direction of sport, albeit it's not, it's not going to be about sports per se, but a sport in the, from the angle of, from the angle of health. That's because anyone that have participated in any type of sports understand that any type of activity, and I say that because I don't know if I can classify modeling as a sport, because one thing that I have come to learn is that every sport has its own discipline, and this is not just a discipline as in on the pitch, if we use soccer as an example, but also discipline in the way that the things that you eat, for example. You can imagine if you are in the modeling industry, you are not just going to, there are very strict requirements of what you can eat and what you cannot eat, because there's a type of physique that is required for you to participate in some of these sports. I take gymnastics, for example. If you are just required to gobble up everything, gymnastics is just going to, it's not going to end well, because you have to, you have to do things like jumping and back flipping, for example. Now, all those things require a strict type of code of adherence in terms of, especially for participants. I know.
Well, you're also getting that lovely aroma of, what do they call it, of vinegar and salt. And lovely potato chips.
Of HD's money.
Why are you now identifying economic factors here live on air?
Well, proud sponsor. I'm really hoping he's not listening.
Yeah, he's listening. You're walking right now. But anyway, yes.
Yeah.
Welcome. And hi, Helmut. How are you doing, Helmut? How's the weather been treating you, Helmut?
All good. And also somewhat confusing, which is why we really have to, if July was a person who, would really be asking for a press conference in order for July to be specific, like, Are you a summer month, a winter month? What are you? So, I don't think we'd get an answer out of that. Before you walked in, I was talking about today's discussion, which is somewhat a very interesting, perspective, when it comes to the subject of sport, because more often every time, when we talk about sport, we only talk about the activities on the pitch or, in the pool, if it's about swimming or all the, the respective areas where the sports are exercised. But today we're talking about sports from more on the side of health, as it relates to health.
Yeah.
Which I think it's something that we don't talk about a lot. But that's because most of us. I remember one of his interviews. In one of his interviews, something that Ronaldinho pointed out is that Most of you just saw the magic that was being performed on the pitch, but there was a struggle before the magic was performed. There was a practice of perfecting it.
Well, here's one of the funny things, Amo. When you mentioned Ronaldinho, there's a lovely little, you know, these guys that love to put up these explainer videos on YouTube about, you know, this previous star used to do this, or this, they had this multi-billionaire, millionaire, or influential historical figure used to do this, and this is how, you know, he is remembered. People are thinking about him in this way, and he actually did this to achieve that level. And it's something that I also actually resonated with. I was a similar kind of athlete like Ronaldinho, not to, you know, blow my own horn here, but we were the guys that hated the
practice?
No, not the practice. The practice, look, practice was in multiple sessions or multiple facets. Mm. Before you could practice, you know, set moves, or in rugby we call it set moves or sets. In football they would call it, you know, set pieces and various kinds of plays, you know, the strategizing discussion.
Yeah.
You had to do a whole dehumanizing bunch of, what do they call that thing? Stamina training.
What do you mean dehumanizing?
Dude, the trainers we had on school.
It's ridiculous. What?
Those were guys that were like, nah, it's not even 5 minutes. You guys are lying. Look at you guys. You guys are weak.
Yeah.
And then they make you, okay, since Dwight was, you know, came a little bit late to practice, you guys are going to take a long one. Go there. Full speed. And I don't want any slouching about. If, okay, in most of the sports that I played were all about stamina, meaning rugby, soccer, and hockey. But the aspects obviously was the community setting that it provides. And the Ronaldinho reference I wanted to bring in was that Ronaldinho also hated that first part of the training. Doing the stamina training and the fitness training. He hated that part as well. He just wanted to, let's go do this, the corner kicks,
let's get to the action.
Let's get to the open play. Because that makes you fit.
Yeah.
Do you know that, Ahmed?
Yeah.
There's something that they call in sports conditioning, match fitness and practice field or exercise field fitness. So you are fit from the practice field, but you weren't put to the test in terms of now you've got to perform for your club or for your country or.
You are now at the point where if you were in the, you know, type of military movie lingo, now you'd be told this is not a drill. We are now carrying out
the real thing.
This is the real thing. Yeah.
And that's why there's always that close correlation between a military setup and professional athletic or sports setups. Meaning they try to, many commentators try to fuse in the ideology that the military and a sports enterprise have similarities, which they do. In many cases, if it's a sports team setup or it's a sports team or a team scenario, then the team has to function as one. Just so that I can close off on this particular point, I once had a major debate with my younger brother. it was a major debate, Helmut. So there was a different style of play before the modern way that the German national team is now playing. And this particular style of play is the one that took them to the 2002 Football World Cup, where our former president, I know because I saw him on TV at that World Cup final between Brazil and Germany in Japan.
Yeah.
I saw him there. I won't mention names, but I saw him there.
You don't mention any names.
Yeah. And I was like, what's our prime minister doing? What's our prime minister doing in Japan? But at that stage, I was like a 19 year old, because, you know, obviously you wouldn't be reading much newspapers then.
Yeah.
So the match goes on. There was a stark difference between that and 2006's Germany, or even the Germany of 2014 in Brazil. And we had a massive argument, which was based upon, I was trying to show him and illustrate to him how the German national team had to change tactics and strategies and style of play. And that culminated that they needed a new crop of athletes or a new crop of professional footballers coming through from their professional league setup, the Bundesliga, to feed this new style of play that the previous coach, Joachim Löw, had. Now remember, Joachim Löw is no longer the coach of Germany. It's now another guy. A guy that's way younger than you and me, even. He's younger than you, even, Helmut. I think the guy's like 31. No, he's 33. No, he's as old as you. 33, 34.
He's a coach.
Yeah, he's the national team coach of Germany.
Man, he's good.
The guy that Joachim Löw was the second, the assistant coach to, was it Rudi Völler? Or was it, I think it was Rudi Völler. Or was it Jürgen Klinsmann? No, it wasn't Jürgen Klinsmann. I think it was Rudi Völler. One of the two German greats that I'm just mentioning now. So, the understanding there was, yes, you've got the strategic project manager, but you are set with this skill set of people in a sector. Remember, professional sports is a sector. And a whole 2002 minus 2014, that leaves 12 years. A whole 12 years later, you see almost a whole generational difference in the kind of identity football. Because remember, national teams also have had identities regarding the kind of football that they play. You'll still see it with South Africa. You'll see it with Namibia. You'll see it with Angola. You'll see it with Morocco and so on. The Europeans now all have a similar look and style, look and feel. But there were clear distinctions at one stage. And the downside was, my brother just didn't get my point. Now, I'm so glad he, you know, doesn't listen much to when I'm talking on air, because he would probably have called in and said, Dwight, stop talking, you know, hogwash most of the time. But it's a scenario of people forget these particular finite details that I'm sharing here, and that many other sports lovers would do. Now, you obviously were factoring in sports, health, and education, which is the basis of our discussion for inclusivity. And I obviously took it to another level in terms of speaking about, you know, football, football management and
other. One thing I got from the point you just made is that, a lot of people, including some of the, you know, some of the sportsmen that are involved in these different types of sports themselves, they don't fully understand what, what it takes to basically, do that type of sport. Like you just pointed out that, you just look at some of the activities and call them somewhat menial. That, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to participate in that because, yeah, you know, I want to get to the real action. And for a lot of us.
And then you get to ballroom dancing, that is also a sport.
Yeah. And now, in all this, one thing, one thing is for sure. Anytime that a sport is being performed, yeah, whether it's a ballroom dancing or, soccer on the pitch, rugby and all that, for these sports enthusiasts, what they see is what's happening on the pitch. Yeah. Now, what it took all these, all these guys to basically come together, not just showing up at the pitch, but also to be in sync in how they coordinate their movement in order for them to, to work as a team to accomplish the main aim. Take, for example, in soccer, that would be scoring. The goalkeeper has his role, the defense guys have his role, the midfield guys has their role, the forward guys have their role. Now, all these guys have to work in connection with each other to accomplish one thing, scoring for their team. Now, at the same time, I think, it takes your multitasking ability to a whole new level, because not only do you have to listen to your captain and your teammates, you also have to watch your surrounding and listen to your coach. All this is taking place while you are in,
or you can do like Kevin De Bruyne once did last season to Pep Guardiola, where he told him, shut up! Because Guardiola was shouting this side, no pass here, run there! And De Bruyne turned around and said, shut up!
That's a lot of
pressure. And I stood there, really? He said that?
Yeah, in the TV series Shooter, there's one guy, the main guy, the main character guy.
Shooter?
Yeah.
Who plays in it?
I'm forgetting this guy. I mean, the whole thing is based on sniper blackmail and stuff like that.
Are you talking about, the guy from, is it a British series?
No, that's American.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The thing is, he was basically framed, and then he ran to a guy who was also claiming to be a sniper. But one thing he told him is that, I will give you credit for this. You are good, but let me explain to you the type of a sniper that I am. I was at the front line.
Mm.
In the middle of a war zone.
Yeah.
Now, for you, you are just shooting at the comfort of your hotel room or a hiding space that you found. I had to do this with the captain yelling in my ear, with my friends dying around me and bombs exploding everywhere. So that means, that means it takes your multitasking ability to a whole another level. I think that's where a lot of sportsmen now, when it comes to sports, one thing that we fail to see is basically the dietary requirements that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't often see that. There are a lot of sportsmen that don't talk about it. The only one of those very few times that I came across, someone who is involved in something that's very, physically demanding to do in terms of sports was, Lewis Hamilton, where he talks about there's a strict weight requirement that you're talking about.
He can't be heavier than the petrol tank.
Exactly.
He may not. And you know that there were drivers taller than Hamilton. David Coulthard.
Yeah.
There was the Australian guy. What was the guy's name? Ricciardo. Daniel Ricciardo. There was the other British guy, Jenson Button. They were taller than Hamilton. You had to be Sebastian Vettel, that Hamilton used to have a professional or race driver rivalry with.
Mm-hmm.
Even Vettel was taller than Hamilton. Even the great Nigel Mansell from the UK, who drove for Ferrari in the 90s and in the 80s.
Yeah.
Nigel Mansell had this situation. You know, a six pack in a six pack in a cooler bag.
It rolled into one.
That's a joke that one of my friends made, because we were standing on the side and I think it was another friend's girlfriend walked by and she said, guys should stop wearing these tight t-shirts. You know, I was one of that club, wearing the size lower t-shirts to somehow show our not so obvious rugby muscles, but it was more like our very obvious rugby flubber or blubber. And then she went like, you guys must stop wearing this because you guys are looking like, you are hiding six packs in cooler bags. The only guy that was laughing because he looked the size naturally was the one friend. And the rest of us were like blushing all over going like, oh my goodness. We were now just called out for being on the, on the very advanced level or scale of our weight.
This guy.
So that joke has stuck with me forever, you know. But you're actually right, Hamo, but it's sort of like, okay, firstly, we're slightly branching out into one direction.
Translation, where I was going with all that was, you can't have, malnutrition and sport all at the same time.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
Well,
you can't really be dying on the pitch.
Of hunger.
Yeah.
Well, there was a few scandals.
Exactly.
There were a few scandals. Hence the reason why a field like sports science was developed. Sports science is completely based around nutrition and what foods help with your joints and your muscles and all that. That's why there's...
Yeah, because there's food for everything.
Yeah. And...
So if you're into sports that requires a lot of repetitive motion, physically demanding, anatomical wise, like running, for example, you are going to, you're not just going to gobble up everything that's in your kitchen. You're going to have to find out.
Actually, you can.
And?
Actually, you can.
How is that going to end?
If you want.
You're going to run like that Somali lady that went viral last year.
Helmut. You were using. It's now twice that you're using negative examples in our talk today. You went from war zone to Somali lady running.
Look, she went viral. That was a year, and I think her auntie was in charge of the sports selection federation, blah blah blah.
Oh, you're talking about that lady?
Yeah, that one.
The one where everyone was like, "Hey, let's clap for you for participating."
Yeah. and broke the record for being the slowest.
Look.
In that category.
There are brownie points for participating, you know.
It's a little bit of a Sri Lanka situation going on there. Look, the Somali government had to come out and offer a public apology. How embarrassing is that?
Well, they're a Muslim majority country. Women are not empowered to play sport. That's what people don't understand. Hence the reason why we've got
that. How did she end up there, though?
You just explained it now. Did you not? Being a Nepo baby. She was a Nepo baby.
Yeah, that is true.
She was a Nepo baby. And the downside, unfortunately, look, many people might throw stones at nepotism and the perceived negatives that they identify. But here's the thing, Hamoud. If you go and establish, let's say you become Minister of Defense. Okay, let's say you do what Museveni does. You become a political leader, and in your political leadership, in your party, now your wife is there. Your wife is studied accounting, or she was a doctor. So now you know, okay, I'm someone that studied law, and I'm a lawyer now. Mm-hmm. So on one side, I know how, you know, to do one thing in terms of specifically bending the rules. And then your wife can access a certain industry just through your political party. I'm not saying that's how it goes in Namibia, guys. Please do not try and pull any parallels between what we are discussing here. Because in some cases, we generate examples just to set the scene for you.
Mm-hmm.
So please, don't look into that and then go and blame someone who actually probably does resemble the example that we're outlining. But yeah, if you are setting up an enterprise that is supposed to work for the public, but you did it out of your efforts, your time, your money, your breath, your oxygen, your sanity in some cases, then obviously, if you see that your son graduated as a political scientist at UNAM, you'll appoint homeboy as your political strategist in your own party.
Dwight, I don't think there would be a lot of people that would be, that will have an issue with that.
No, there will be.
The problem is, is why I said I don't think there'll be a lot. There are those that will. Look, because I would give you an example, but I don't have bodyguards.
The minority will be your family, your wife, and the kids.
Yeah.
That'll be the minority. The majority that will have an issue with you is, for example, and you know who I'm also talking about in the Namibian context, because there are certain things where you can clearly see there was, okay, your dad was in the same line of work. That's why you are here as well.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm one of those people that had a problem with that until I came to basically look at most of the multinational corporations around the world. And then you find that, at the core of their ownership, they're basically family businesses.
Exactly.
Yeah, they are family businesses. In other words, you'll find a lot of family members all across their corporate structures. And that is not a very bad thing if the people are qualified to do the job.
Which is not often
a terrible idea. Now I have a very good example. There's one South Korean lady that is known, I think, at this point as the Samsung princess. Is one of the kids of the of the guy that's in charge of Samsung right now.
The current chairman.
Who
was the son of the previous chairman.
At some point, I think that was shortly after the COVID-19 pandemic, one of the Samsung owner families had to be given a presidential pardon to come and run the business. Wait. Don't ask.
What? A presidential national president?
National president gave him a presidential pardon because, well, there's some.
Oh yeah, it's the father that had to come out of jail.
You're welcome. I think that's actually how it should be done. That lady started from the ground up. She had to work her way up in her own father's company and gained every level, Helmut, and made sure that she was qualified for her to be there.
Helmut.
Theoretically. Now, moving on.
That's why I was going to stop you there. Helmut, the person is already earning 10 times more than the person that works in the same salary bracket for the position.
Mm-hmm.
already earning 10 times more. Now, it's one of the things that I also had to deal with. For example, I worked at such a shop as well, just here around the corner from where we work.
Yeah.
There's that Portuguese community shop in there. I worked there. And, you know, your envy, Helmut, your envy shoots here through your veins. But you can't do anything. Because you know what? My mom was in the same position.
I think it will also be very counterproductive for that business if they just take any person that's terrible at their job and then put them in that position.
Do you know what's the biggest fear?
Yeah.
For many, family owned businesses.
Yeah.
Theft. You know at least you.
Theft from relatives. Oh yeah, that's.
You at least know.
Yeah.
Who are the sticky finger relatives in your family.
Mm.
And you don't allow them close to the cash machine.
Yeah.
To the till. Now, there's nothing you can do if it is any John Doe or Jane Doe that you hired from the street.
Yeah. Because you can just fire them, sue them, you can do all those.
No, but if you just fire them,
yeah.
then you're going to end up in labor court.
Yeah.
Because you went through the process of, okay, I felt like because the day's monies were not tallying up,
yeah.
I need to fire you because you were standing at that till. Now you do that. Then a labor inspector comes back and then a labor lawyer comes back, issues you, serves you a summons or a letter in terms of things. Yeah, you
didn't follow this process
in terms of dismissal.
Yeah.
And then there you go. Now you have to reemploy the person. Now the person becomes a burden again because somewhere you as the business owner, which you are running this business for your survival and your family survival. You're not running it for Namibia's economy. You're not running it for the community of Klein Windhoek or Ludwigsdorp. You're running it, Helmut, because you've got no other skills and you and your family have to eat. That's what many people don't realize about the big family businesses in this country.
Yeah.
It's because the people did not have any other skills. You can mention them. You can hit the names, Helmut. All the big businesses. The hardware guys. I'm not going to mention their name. You know who am I talking about?
Yeah.
With a Polish surname.
Yeah.
The brothers that ran it only started becoming successful after the father passed away.
The founder.
You go to the other family company, the well-known German one, which is technically a partnership because it's two German surnames.
Mm-hmm.
They themselves, only from a certain period, it only started becoming successful and was born on the back of brewing a beer.
Okay, so it all comes down to we don't have any way out.
Yeah,
this has to work.
This is our only avenue. This is make it or break it.
So the best way to run the best way to grow a business is step one: put yourself in a corner.
Oh, you are fighting from the corner. You were still on the point of family businesses.
On the point of family businesses. I think, it also, whether, now, I don't think, there's one law firm that, just here in Namibia that, that hired a daughter of, a daughter of one prominent figure. Now, the owner of the law firm and the said prominent figure have always, have locked horns at some point.
Mm.
Now, a lot of people started asking, why did this guy hire the daughter of someone that they seem to be at odd with to work for him?
Mm.
I'm like, okay, you guys are missing the point here. Is she qualified? If the answer is yes, well, my beef is with your father, not you.
But the question, that question that people also ask, which is like a layman's person question.
Yeah.
The question is, Namibia is too small to make enemies. That's what people don't understand, Hamo. All the educated people in Namibia know each other. We all know each other. You and I, we did the labor force survey discussion, remember?
The numbers are pretty steep.
Out of 3 million people, there's only, 150,000 of us that have above grade 12 education, which also includes the additional 22,000 or 12 or 24,000 from the TVET guys. That's us. That's us, Helmut. Now, factor yourself in.
Why am I still broke? But anyway.
It's not about the brokenness. You remember what that said, that one sentence said in that report? The higher your education level,
the less you're going to pay, you know, the less perception you're going to have about corruption.
Well, that was the Afrobarometer.
Remember that
was based upon the better your economic position, the less your
The better economic position, education.
Which also translates to what you just said now, and what I'm also explaining. And the lower your economic position, the higher your corruption perception, meaning the more negative you'll be.
Yeah.
The more educated you'll be, the more employment opportunities you will have in this Namibian economy. This very restrictive Namibian economy. Doesn't matter what skin color you are. The more educated you are, which means the more skills you have, the more economic opportunities you will have in this economy, the more you will see the economic opportunities in this economy.
There's a graduate with a, there's a graduate with a job dialing right now. Let me tell Dwight how wrong he is.
Hey, listen, there's nothing I can do now. If you studied masters and you're 24, I would have told you straightforward, what job experience do you have to go to jump to masters? You were supposed to stop at honors and then you go work a little bit.
Oh.
How are you overqualified, Helmut, for an entry level job?
So instead of just, tearing through the academic line and then get your PhD, then you start looking for a job. You have somewhere and gain skills.
Yeah, they were supposed to tell the university they went and achieved that master's level at, employ me. Like the example, did I give you that example about the guy that I bumped into when the Total Energies guys were doing the public stakeholder engagement around the Venus exploration fields here at the FNCC? Remember that weird Wednesday, Thursday that I came here on the 1st of May? Sort of like here, just before lunch. And I came and told you I bumped into multiple things happening at the same time. And the irony about it was literally, these guys are celebrating World Earth Day. And on this side, you've got a major oil corporation. Sort of literally highlighting or feeding part of Namibia's, public stakeholder engagement regarding the oil or the potential for oil in Namibia. So at that level, I met an old schoolmate. We were classmates at St. Taurus High School. And I knew he worked in the government because we also studied together at what was Polytechnic and now NUST. We studied together because he was in the economics field or the program, and I was obviously in the marketing program then. And then I asked him, so where did you go? What happened? He said, nah, he tapped into that educational exchange program with China. And he went to go complete his master's in China, his master's in public, economics in public administration or something like that for the public sector. We stand there chatting and all that. And then he said, Dwight, you won't believe me. My lecturer there in China is 25, 26. I said, huh? Yeah, it's a professor and it's a 25, 26-year-old. Now, he and I are the same age. We're both 40. And he said, no, it's a 25-year-old, 26-year-old kid who hasn't worked a day in their life. This is their first job being a professor.
Okay, how'd they pull that off?
Because supposedly the thing is like this, that the universities are also seen as employment creation aspects. And that's some of the things that you can also see in Namibia's policy setting in terms of the employment creation aspect. Even though I sit on a Switzerland scenario, because I believe that both public and private have to work together.
Yeah.
You invest in your sector as private sector, which then leads to aspects in terms of demand for certain skills. And public sector guys then go and say, listen, we then position additional agencies and stuff to help these new investments along. For example, you realize that you need a consumer protection agency in Namibia because now we don't have a Minister of Industrialization and Trade anymore, which has been split into two. You don't know where that directorate is going. You don't know if you should empower the Namibia Competition Commission or should you empower someone else, or should this be a standalone agency? We are even supposed to have the Information Commission. The one that is not supposed to be affiliated to Ministry of Information and Communication Technology. But then obviously you can clearly see, we've now sort of like gone through almost three years in terms of understanding how far is the budgeting to establish and appoint people affiliated to this commission. Now, here's a very interesting scenario. Namibia wants to have its own knowledge base, as based upon the NCRST's report on research and development of last year, the one that you and I dissected last
year. Yeah, I was about to say that's a lot of research and development.
We are lagging behind in terms of research and development in the humanities. But we only have one university that has a humanities, a fully fledged, dedicated humanities sector. Hamoud, that's your and my sector.
Yeah.
Okay, I both fall into business and into, you know, humanities. Because I realize that business is not an airy-fairy concept that is just based upon two computers talking to each other. That's most what the AI guys think most.
Yeah.
Allow the computers to do the business for you, but how does the computer know what I want? Hence the reason why Elon Musk is trying to develop that stupid thing by, yes, and I call it stupid because it's very invasive.
The croc thing.
No, not the croc thing. The implant. The chip implant.
Yeah, no, I'm not putting that.
I'm also not putting, that's a very invasive thing. Helmut, have you ever watched Ghost in the Shell? The anime? Which The Matrix is based upon? I watched the whole Ghost in the Shell. The whole series. The whole series about itself. It is literally the basis where you get the next level of computer hacking. A guy sitting somewhere else, and all he does is plug himself in with his virus. His virus is a mind virus, and then it corrupts you 1,000 kilometers away. No, I don't want to sit with that.
No, the last thing I want is Hunters International in, you know.
And you find yourself not deep faking anything.
Uh-huh.
Illicit on the internet. Literally, that is you, but you are mind controlled. Nah, bruh. No.
And, that technology has a long way to go because one thing about the human body, especially the human brain and those things, you're looking at all kinds of side effects.
Yeah. And then the first idea when the previous British Prime Minister Boris Johnson was talking about when he told his government, hey, listen, these tech companies are going to come out with self-driving cars. Okay. Go look and amend legislation about the consumer and ownership, the dimension of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Should the consumer be allowed to own the car and pay the car? It was the quickest that discussion evaporated into thin air. Helmut, have you ever heard of a novel known, what's her name? I think it's Emily Bronte. She wrote the book Wuthering Heights. It was a love story. One of those in 1800s love stories in England, somewhere in backwater agricultural in England, you know, while the first notions of the industrial revolution were about to kick off. Before the locomotive engine made its much highly public, you know,
entrance
into everyday life. In that discussion of Wuthering Heights. That specific scenario. The name Wuthering Heights is about the wind blows so much that nothing stands still. Because I'm focusing on the title of the book. The wind blows so much. If you look at the word Wuthering Heights, it means the wind is so strong that it's windy on those heights, meaning at a place of altitude.
Yeah.
It's the quickest that economic wind Boris, it's the only good thing I know Boris Johnson for. When he asked that question and he asked his ministers to look into that dimension economically, about ownership of cars. If a car is going to be self-driven, driven.
Who is going to be the owner?
Who's going to be owner? It's the quickest that you heard the banks went like, hey, okay, Owens, let's settle
this. Because that also comes with a liability.
Yeah, and the banks are making money from it because the banks finance your new car.
The banks don't
want to lose money.
Because if it's driving itself and it's owned in some way in Silicon Valley.
Exactly.
They don't have money.
And there's this weird AI controlling my car. No, bruh. Then I don't want to own the thing.
Therefore, I don't have to worry about its insurance. I don't have to worry about its servicing, its petrol and all that stuff.
You don't have to worry about a bank. You don't care.
That's a lot of convenience, and the problem with convenience is that safety goes out through the window.
Hence the reason why you remember why I keep using the word remove a burden from the everyday Namibian. In terms of that transportation just dimension.
Yeah.
Remove the burden of transportation. Because at one stage in Namibia, and this is also what the president herself has highlighted in many of her speeches up until today even, there are places where the government literally has to purposefully invest in a sector.
Purposefully
invest.
I mean, it's not like you can accidentally invest.
I mean, liberal economics now does not live up to the dimension of Germany now literally having to utilize a 500 billion euro fund, strategic infrastructure fund. Do you know what it is, Helmut? To make their bridges more resilient for a tank to roll over?
It's very German thing to do.
Very German.
Very German.
Very German. To make the transport sector as new age, you know, to bring it up to
state of the art
levels, which just tells me they are doing that so that us Namibia over here are producing all the green hydrogen and green ammonia for the next level. Because here's the thing, Helmut. The Germans are going to bring out new engines. They're going to bring out new technology. Now, if your economy is the basis that the EU exists on, you're going to be the alpha.
Some things kind of have to be together, right? Imagine, pop, but no flace. Never. Or a goal without a celebration. And friends, but no Tassenberg.
Now that's just not right.
Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. But before we continue, let's take a live read. This is a ShopRite live read. Get the hottest deal on all your spirit needs with winter at this winter at your favorite ShopRite liquor shop. Get a 400 ml triple wood blended Scotch whiskey for just 200 Namibian dollars. Scottish Coolie whiskey $174 Namibian dollars and 99 cents each. $154 and 99 cents each for Smirnoff 1818 vodka and Rock Bay spiced rum, and Gordon's gin for only 169.99 cents. ShopRite liquor shop, hot deals at a low price. Alcoholic drinks are not for persons under the age of 18. And we continue. Yeah, where you left off.
Yeah, where I left off specifically was the notion in terms of if your economy is based upon, if your economy is the economy that drives a block, a regional block, an economic regional block, of course, Helmut, you'll be the economy that will also push new developments, bring in new technologies, and thus try to become sort of like the block leader in that scenario. We've got South Africa. You've got Russia in its neighborhood. You've got the US in its neighborhood. You've got Brazil in its neighborhood. China and India right next door to each other, right next door to South Korea and Japan in that neighborhood. So you see these scenarios. So unfortunately, the next realm is where you can literally see liberal economics unfortunately won't have a place in terms of the state now has to purposefully invest in something. They have to.
Yeah, so most of the economic discussions we have, or most, you know, whether we're just having it or I'm reading it or I'm seeing it on TV, it all, you know, more often brings me back to what Larry Fink, the BlackRock CEO, said at G7 in Italy last year, that everyone needs a growth plan. Mm. Now, this is both developing and developed countries. Mm. So a plan is needed. It's not, let's leave everything to chance and probability. So obviously, it's going to require planning and a careful execution. Not that everything is going to go okie-dokie, all the way to the accomplishment of the set goal. But just expect things to go south and, have some contingency plans in place to sort of like, make up for the shortfalls that you're going to come across, along the way. And that planning is, what brings us to subjects like the NDP 6. When it was launched, one thing that a lot of things were basically pointed out by the president, one that stood out, at least to me, was the revamping of the agricultural sector to combat food insecurity. Creative sectors, sports and all these things were basically pointed out. Every time that we talk about sport, we only focus at what's happening on the pitch. But participants, at all level, participants in all sports at all level knows what goes in, what's required of them. Mm. From how they socialize, how they conduct themselves, how they eat, and discipline wise, because discipline is a very significant part. It's a very significant part of sport, because you're literally working as a team.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're literally working as a team. So if I screw up, that can impact everyone else, because now I can't show up, and now we have a loophole that our opponents can exploit, can exploit to their advantage. Now, what that basically brings us to is to the health discussion, especially in terms of sports. It's not difficult to think about execution of, execution obviously is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, we're basically talking about health, like overall.
Yeah.
But in sport, not just the health in terms of, what you're supposed to eat as a sportsman, if you have a problem, a health problem on the pitch, take for example, you twist an ankle, how quickly can you be attended to?
Yeah.
Yeah. All those things come as,
level of expertise attending to you?
Exactly. Yeah. What's the level of expertise of individuals attending to you? What type of medication do you have access to? And all these things, how fast are you going to, how fast do you have to, to stay in recovery before you get back on the pitch again? Mm. Or is it just one of those things that's going to take the whole year? Now your team will just crossing their fingers and hoping things works out.
Nee, Helmut, it's one of the worst scenarios that I've seen in Namibia. So, you go play a team sport now, ne?
Yeah.
So, you are employed here at Eagle FM. You go play a team sport now. You get injured there. Let's say, now you've got most now your medical aid that comes from your 5 to 8 or 8 to 5 job, ne?
Yeah.
And you go play now a team sport on the weekend for your favorite club there.
Yeah.
Wherever it is now. You get injured there. You can't get sick leave for that injury. You cannot, because it's two different sets of scenarios. Your job, you can literally lose your job for a sports injury that you did for a social setting because you were irresponsible with your time and your body. And your employment contract says, nah, Dwight, we are supposed to see you back on Monday. Chop chop at 8 a.m.
No, but I bruised my knee. I'm in the hospital.
You didn't bruise your knee. You tore a cruciate ligament in your knee, or you ruptured a groin muscle.
So you need medical attention.
Yes, or you broke a rib, or you broke an arm, you broke a bone, a serious injury. You get a muscle injury and you get a bone fracture injury. You literally...
You just so okay. So you just expect me to well, I tore some cartilage yesterday, and I have to show up. I have to show up at the office the next day.
Exactly.
Okay. So okay. Now.
You're concussed. You've got concussion.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be in observation for the whole week. Your employer will not understand that because okay. It was not your employer that said go and play rugby on the weekend.
Okay, now that that flips this whole discussion on its head.
Excellent.
And by that I mean before we start talking about let's talk about health in sports. How about we just focus on first establishing the sports sector to be its own sector, so that the participants monetize that to the point where they don't have to worry about what am I gonna do if I twist my ankle here. I will have to show up limping to the office, the next day.
Exactly. That's why our best talent is between 15 and 25. Because at least by 25, you can still anticipate, I'm sorry for the unemployed guys, that the person at 25 is still unemployed. Yes, Hamoud. That's our best talent that can represent Namibia at any sports level. The person must be unemployed.
Yeah, but if you are representing, if that sector, if sport is turned into its own sector, like we see in a lot of countries, then participants, that would be their job.
Yeah, but that comes with private sector commitment, because private sector has to pay salaries.
Yeah,
to an athlete. Have you heard of what has now happened to athletes from the athletics? Doesn't matter what sport it is, in Europe and in North America. The athletes that don't make it to becoming the biggest, the big paying contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are turning to, OnlyFans.
Oh yeah, I've heard that.
Hmm?
Oh yeah, that. Turns out they pay.
The one guy from Germany even says, because I watched the documentary this past week, and the guy says, I have no problem walking around. I perform. I do my that swimming, that competitive swimming thing.
Mm-hmm.
He does it half naked, as we all know.
Yeah.
When you go to a public swimming pool.
Yeah.
You know, people are walking bare-chested and walking in scantily clad, attire.
Yep.
The guy says, I'm already doing this every day.
I've never convinced people that swimwear is a thing.
Yeah.
Shout out to that guy.
Yeah, so... They highlighted most. There was a famous women's NBA, former NBA professional,
mm-hmm.
who went from playing basketball,
yeah.
to
OnlyFans.
Yeah. In Europe. So, the unfortunate dimension here is, Hamoud, I continuously see templates where the thing is busy fizzling out. It's only soccer. It's only football.
Yeah.
And most men's sports, the codes, men's sports codes.
Yeah.
That illustrate sustainable activity. When it comes to the women's side of things.
Yeah.
It's where the precariousness is. Because even if, like at that interministerial engagement that took place at the start of this month.
Yeah.
Where all the region five, not region five sports people, please. Region 5 is, it's a large part chunk of SADC minus DRC, minus Tanzania, and minus Madagascar. That's Region 5. That's us. And when you look at that, Article 5 of, was it Article 6? I'm lying. Article 6 of the Agenda 2063 of AU says, You must achieve an Africa whose development is people driven, relying on the potential offered by African people, especially the women and youth, and caring for children. And the goals, the minor goals, the sub goals that they want to achieve this by is that you must have full gender equality in all spheres of life. The unfortunate thing is that I'm sorry, women, I'm sorry ladies, This is being proven in Europe and in America. Men don't watch certain women's variations of the sports that men play. They go look at, there's just this whole gender discussion happening in the US, Helmut, between the NBA and the WNBA. The WNBA athletes are running a campaign of pay us what you owe us.
Yeah.
But the principle under which the NBA functions under is that the NBA rewards.
Subsidizes in a
way. Wait, I'm not getting the subsidy. No, keep the subsidy, you know, like, keep it at the back first.
Yeah.
The NBA runs on the principle of athleticism, performance, and the ability to attract audiences. It's the reason also why we as a radio station exist. We generated an audience. We cultivated our own market. That's our market share, Helmut.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is when you look at the WNBA, the same audience, the same spectator will tell you, but the women's athletes in the same sport code, they don't know how to do a slam dunk. They don't know how to do a dunk. You remember the thing that Michael Jordan is famous for?
Yeah.
Which is on his logo.
On the logo that, the original one, not the...
The Air Jordan.
Yeah.
The Air Jordan logo. Is most the photo of Michael Jordan.
Literally. You know, yeah, the pose that's now a logo.
Yeah. Literally that logo. Ne? People will forever look there. I remembered Michael Jordan from the 1990s.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat Spice, Boyki's ready. Even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Howie, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh,
you can't get here without tassim, bruh. It's like cabana without salsa, dog.
Tassim, bruh. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
That iconic taste of Heineken. Loved in Germany. Amsterdam. Argentina and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken. Loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst. Only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onore tatuimwe mbali hea hii nola natu. Heali bali no heali ileko derewa bra hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane egelesa the eye.
And welcome back. Had to pay the bills there. Okay, we have quite a few things to sort of like get out of the way. And if we are going to build a sports, a sports sector, and then so that it can run on its own as a sector in a way that, the participants or the individuals that are involved in that sector can, can basically live off it. And then we have a lot of things to work on.
Yeah.
And that's from you can tell from how it's you can tell from the fact that our national team does not play its home games at home. Then it's already pointing out one of those very obvious things that's the it's an infrastructure issue. Yes, we can talk about the health of these individuals, but that's just again one sports code. That's just
No, but remember, that's a sector that has to support the sports sector.
Yeah.
So it's health, for example, it's the, what do they call it? The health sciences departments of the universities.
So it's a whole discipline.
It's a holistic approach. you are taking a 360 degree approach, even though that explainer does not make sense that I just said, because 360 degree means you would be standing in the same
spot.
You
would be back to square one.
Where you started from. But holistically basically means you take in consideration every aspect, dimension, and particular, you know, direction of what you're doing. Because in the world of economics, Helmut, and this is what I had to look at thousands of people like you. You also had to look at thousands of particular videos and documentaries and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You get to one particular conclusion, which is our literature review highlight. Nothing works in isolation.
Nope.
Nothing works in isolation. You get malaria from a mosquito because you live close to a body of water that stands still every time in the rainy season. And thus, because you don't know about those particular environmental conditions, you are exposed to a particular health-related risk. But then you will see the health-related guys speak about health in one direction and malaria and how to tackle malaria. But you just don't know. I need to drain
standing water.
Yeah. So that it doesn't stand there close to me. So that I don't get exposed.
That's a breeding ground, yeah.
Basic things. Okay, I was still on the NBA discussion.
Yeah, you were still on the NBA and WNBA you know, example.
So the WNBA, like I said, I'm going to quickly speed through it.
Yeah, pay us what you owe us.
Pay us what you owe us. But the whole principle that the NBA runs on is because it attracts so much audience, which is the marketing, the merchandisable, the commercialization.
Isn't it like the same discussion between, men and women soccer?
It's the same discussion in the US. It's the same economy that keeps bringing up these particular discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And every time all the former men's athletes keep telling the women's athletes, Owens, you guys have to perform at our level if you're demanding the money that you
pull the crowd.
Yeah, you need to pull the crowd through athleticism, through your ability to be, you know, to be a showman. That's just the whole thing about sport.
Yeah.
Sport is about performing in front of the masses.
It's literally entertainment, yeah.
It's an entertainment aspect. And for some reason, Hamoud, I'll be honest with you, it takes very long for you to sit down and concentrate on women's football. Because
I mean, I concentrate, but it's not what you think.
Yeah, because if you had to watch men's football, you would be fixated on
every move.
On every move, the athleticism by the man. When you come to women's football, now you have to slow down 5 paces.
You do realize this is going to bring us back to, back to the natural anatomy and biological setup.
It is continuously discussed.
It's always going to bring us to that.
That's also
bone density, muscle mass.
That's also why much of the men in some of the sports governing bodies in the world don't agree with the International Olympic Committee. Remember the Italian boxer that was concussed by the supposed transgender boxer that was performing under the women's bracket of boxing. Remember?
Whoever came up with that was nuts.
The Italian boxer forfeited the fight in 10 seconds after receiving 3 punches to the face.
Yeah.
Because a man punches faster.
And harder.
And a man punches harder. Doesn't matter if there's a glove or not.
No.
And they've discovered that those boxing gloves are one of the major reasons as to why many boxers have so much brain damage.
Concoctions.
Yes. Now, I am punching harder against a woman. Doesn't matter what age bracket, weight bracket I am as a man. I punch harder automatically than the woman in front of me.
Yeah.
The International Olympic Committee allows that through that Italian boxer forfeits within the first 10 seconds of the fight. I watched that fight. She forfeited in the first 20 seconds. A round is 3 minutes long, Helmut. First 20 seconds of the fight, she forfeits because the punches were too hard to her face.
Yeah.
The downside is it comes on after that whole boxing match, that whole Olympic scenario, that it was a man that was busy going through the transgender process. The the crossing over process?
When it comes to anatomy, I can decide to transition today, but one thing is going to remain the same. If you put me next to to an average woman of my height and body size, I will still have two things going for me. Even if I have undergone through the process, there are still two things that are going for me. Muscle mass, still the same. A man's anatomy is just built different. We're built for more physically demanding activities, which is why when you look at, industries like construction, they are dominated by men.
Yeah.
If you ask me, putting a man and a woman in a boxing ring, I don't care if they are wearing a dress. That's just dumb. Now, the thing is, bring us back to the 360, your 360 degree approach.
Mm.
When it comes to, if we're going to, to run the sports. I like the fact that you brought up the sports science, because that also factor into the health. Because again, you are not just talking about, health in terms of, you're not just talking about health in terms of, in terms of nutrition or what if these individuals get injured, but also their psychology, their mental presence when they are carrying out their respective duties in these sports activities, be it a manager, be it a coach, be it the person that's on the pitch in terms of soccer, for example.
Mm.
All these things have to be factored in. I'm not going to be very mentally present as a sportsman, if my kid at home is sick and I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to get the money to take them to the hospital.
Okay, let me make that even worse. Let's say the sport that you perform in go to World Cup every 5 years, like the rugby team.
Yeah.
Every 5 years, Helmut, do you know how depressing it is as a fan of rugby to hear? Every 5 years, there's a bunch of Namibian rugby players who tell the coach and the president of the sports body that they perform under, they either have to take unpaid leave or they have to resign because they've got to go and play rugby in France or in New Zealand or in South Africa or in Australia, because the next World Cup is now in Australia, 2027. You have to go play rugby somewhere else because the HR manager at the company, the 8-to-5 job that you work for, and the CEO said, no, that is nothing to do with your 8-to-5 contract that you have with us. Which they are right. They are right on that point.
They are
fundamentally and constitutionally right.
Yeah, because if they say yes, then they will have to agree to a lot of terms and conditions that comes with that. Like
to other people as well.
Yeah. So they will end up taking up a lot of liabilities and responsibilities that comes with it.
Yeah, and they will have to allow it for any other things. That someone goes and does a gym session in the gym, they get injured there. Past 5 o'clock in the gym, then the medical aid of your 8-to-5 job has to cover your gym injury. Yeah. No, Helmut,
Laurent is due. You don't have money.
You are
trying to play, but while your landlord threatened you just before you came to the, before you stepped on the pitch.
Exactly.
So, how the heck are you supposed to focus?
So the dimension of when you look at education, health, and sport to build that inclusive and sustainable society with the statement I just read in terms of, starting from the gender equality discussion.
Yeah.
Firstly, there are too many nuances to factor in. We are on one where it's impacting men who are in many cases breadwinners.
Yeah.
What then happens if it's women?
Aren't they just impacted, similarly in terms of, they can't monetize in what they do. They have to consider it as more of something that they do after work or during the weekends.
But remember, Helmut, women traditionally in the modern economic aspect of what we're looking at already earn less than a man for the same work. Women earn less.
Way less.
They earn less than a man. Any man. And remember, between Namibia and South Africa, there's still that tiered discussion. So you still have the multiple groups in between and skin colors. And then you still find the inequalities even tiered there. You know, it's like you in a boss level in a game. You know, you look, okay, there's the final mission. But then you look at, oh my goodness, look at all these mini bosses in between.
Yeah.
That you've got to qualify. Go through. It's literally the same illustration. And it's tiered even. So now, imagine now if this woman was a footballer for Namibia's football, the Brave Gladiators, the women's football team. And she was, let's say, a 8-to-5 professional in the Namibian economy. That boss would say, no, you're not going on the World Cup. You're not going to the World Cup.
Yeah.
The Women's World Cup.
Because then I will have to go through the hassle of trying to find someone to do your job or in your job in your absence.
Yeah.
How do I pay them with those money?
You should see how many women, Helmut, have gone through a nightmare. Just even if it is to give birth to a child. That's now a nightmare at work.
Yeah, that's...
You should see how some bosses have reacted. And I've seen that. They even go like, you're pregnant?
Oh, man.
Why are you pregnant? They even ask those things. But then they forget the person has a life outside of work. The person has a boyfriend and a husband.
Has family members.
Has family members.
Also need their sanity. They have to be away every now and then for them to... Because they don't just leave for that.
They don't. Don't worry, guys. I'm not here trying to, you know, sugarcoat and, you know, farm brownie points from women. It's just I have observed these things. I go with a perspective of understanding the community, the society that I as a fellow Namibian live in. And it's stark. It's shocking things, Amut, in terms of how women get treated in the greater Namibian economy.
Looking at it sports wise, I think one example that we can get from your NBA and WNBA example is that women's soccer, for example, it doesn't have the same crowd that male football does. And yeah, you see this in every country that you look at, that you can look at and compare, just all straight up to World Cup. It's the same. There are more people that watch, men's soccer World Cup than women's soccer World Cup. And therefore, the bigger the crowd, the more money you're gonna make. And they are not, a workaround on that is a very difficult one. And I think this is one of those things in the US now, I think they're busy dealing with that conundrum as we speak. And that's because from time to time, I think it's an annual thing where the NBA have to sort of like in a way, take a portion of their budget and give it to the WNBA so that they can just break even.
Yeah, no, they do. They subsidize it greatly. Yeah. That's why I said, you know.
So, in other words, if you shut down NBA today, WNBA would be gone.
Yes. And do you know what are some of the suggestions that some of the sports pundits in the US have suggested to make the women's game of basketball more entertaining? Do you know what is the suggestion?
What's that?
Make the hoop lower.
Seriously.
Make the hoop lower.
Look, I think one of the most unfair thing, and I don't see any work around it. I personally don't see any work around it, is that every time that you and I watch soccer, there's a certain way that soccer is played by men on the pitch. And that standard have gone really high. You have to understand that women's soccer is something that's fundamentally new. For a very long time, we watched a lot of men playing these sports, and the standard was pushed through the ionosphere. Now, when women now started participating in these sports, we were looking for that. We were looking for a Maradona into them.
Yeah, we are looking for a manifestation.
Of what we saw there.
Oh no, of what we see every day. In women's sport.
Yeah,
that's why I said.
When we don't get that, we go like, but you know what, in that position, Cristiano would have done this. In that position, Messi would have done that.
But
it's not Messi.
Well, I have to concede, Amut. You know, in women's soccer, they score some wonderful goals. Where I even go like,
How did they do that?
How did you score from there? But then I also realized there was another argument which you don't see much online of. How to make the women's game, the women's football game, more entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Many men have said, make the goals shorter and lower for women. Look, Hope, what's that, the American goalie, the women's goalie? Grace Hope. Mm-hmm. Grace Hope is an anomaly. Yeah. Grace Hope, Helmut, she's as tall as this tall. That's as tall as how Grace Hope is.
Holy cow.
She's tall. Grace Hope is an anomaly in women's soccer.
Mm-hmm.
There's not every day that the women's goalie is almost 2 meters tall.
Is she by any chance from South Sudan?
No, Helmut.
Okay. You're not just asking.
I think she was a former women's volleyball or women's basketball player before she shifted over to codes. It's very, very rare to get a goalie in women's football this tall. Do you know how common it is in men's football to get a goalie this tall?
Very common.
We put the tallest guy in the sticks.
Can't put Helmut there, that's going to be a disaster.
No, unless you were Mexico in the 90s when they had, what's that weird guy that was a surfer, the goalie, and sometimes the striker?
The long hair guy?
No, you're talking about the guy from Bolivia. You're talking about that guy. The guy that did the cobra kick.
Yeah.
No, you're talking about that guy.
That guy was crazy.
Oh, the guy was crazy. Do you know that he took the penalties for the team?
Jeez, okay.
He was his country's top goal scorer. He was captain of the national team, and he was goalkeeper.
Who does that?
Well, that was the 90s. That's why everyone loves the 90s of football.
Yeah.
And you had, what's the guy's name? The Italians that showed up with the gold chains. They were almost the only guys playing with gold chains on the football field.
Very Italian.
So anyway, getting back on point. Even the discussion, Helmut, when you, the scientists can tell you a boy and a girl, anatomically, in terms of their athleticism,
mm-hmm.
when they're kids, a boy and a girl are similar up until I think age 13, maybe 14, certain aspects.
You know, when the hormones kick in.
And then the hormones kick in. Remember, and the hormones kick in for a girl 2 years earlier. So we're talking about age 11.
Yeah.
And then, The girl's body goes in a different direction, yeah, in terms of, you know, how they
development.
Need to, the development, how they need to react, and that obviously their physiology now technically
also changes.
Changes drastically. For a boy, it just goes from, you know, from this little sproutling, you just go in a natural direction upwards, yeah, in terms of the body just becomes bigger, the same body,
yeah,
you just get more muscle. And all you need to do is you just see various other smaller changes in terms of the anatomy heading in a different direction, but it doesn't change how you move.
Yeah.
It changes for a girl. It changes. Now, the unfortunate thing is, that's what a lot of the people don't want to recognize when it comes to the equality discussion in terms of, you know, the gender representation in these sectors. That's obviously also why you get a lot more women who are becoming teachers vis-a-vis men who want to become teachers, which also feeds into our discussion the other day of the education sector.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those teachers were women. We remember we had a video on our socials,
yeah,
of the first teachers demonstration
demonstrating, yeah,
when the minister was in Kidmanswoop.
Yeah.
It was just women that were demonstrating. The lower primary graduates.
Yeah.
They were just women.
Dwight, huh? In my first year.
Or primary school graduate.
In my first year, there's one subject that's compulsory for all courses, and that's introduction to computer.
Yeah.
Now, I was exposed to that subject in high school, so I was, I already knew my way around computer literacy, so it was just, a walk in the park for me. But, we had to do it, we were combined with, you know, we're combined with psychology students because their class was pretty small.
Mm.
By small, I mean, they were about, about 20 or 30 something.
Mm.
I counted three guys.
Mm.
in that class.
It's the same thing that happened with my when I did marketing.
Three guys. They were all women.
We were literally like...
I was this close to changing course. That class was something else.
We were literally in the first year, 200, ne?
Mm-hmm.
Of that 200, that's now part-time, full-time students. That 200, we were literally probably like 30-something men. And the other men...
Out of 200.
The other men, ne? We're predominantly Angolans for the first time trying to speak English in a business course. Remember, this is 2003. I'm just giving you what I observed.
Yeah.
Because us, the other men, were Namibian. You know, we were the guys that were not technically inclined. So we couldn't go into engineering and IT and the other advanced business courses like accounting.
Yeah.
Because that was the, if you had to look at the gender balance there, there was a lot of men there.
Yeah.
Engineering, IT, and in the accounting and economics fields.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of men.
You.
A lot of men, Helmut. But if you come to like the middle ground business courses, business administration, marketing, what was the other one that also popped up at the same time there? So business administration and marketing. The nature conservation guys, they were a pretty small contingent. Predominantly women. And now obviously, between what I explained to you now in 2003 versus now 2025, now the courses have expanded, now there's a lot more things, and just like you said, you'll find in many theory subjects, many theory courses, you'll find a lot more women than men.
We like assembling Lego. You know, we like doing things. Saying not much. So 5 minutes to the hour of six. I think, 5 minutes to the hour of six. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. I think, when we look at sports, for example, in Namibia, you know, running sports to the level where it's a sector on its own, where the participants or everyone involved in those, you know, in that sector can basically earn a living from it.
Mm.
We have a long way.
No, we do, Helmut.
We have a long way to go.
I mean,
like this, this health discussion. Oh, this is an afterthought.
I mean, Helmut, I still watch Tour de France. It's guys on bicycles.
There's a meme that was circulating. I think it was earlier this year. I think, oh, I saw that last year.
Yeah.
You know. Of one motto, you know, one guy who, you know, this is just I think, you know, yeah, it's a cartoon where one guy participated, you know, in Tour de France and he came out first because he was,
Why are you cleaning your throat? Is that another meme punchline?
Yeah. he had a Kawasaki Ninja but identified as a cyclist.
Yeah, the Kawasaki Ninja guys. There was also another meme that we used to have about the motorcycles. But anyway, so with the Tour de France, Helmut, there is a women's version of it. But I watch every year, I know when, in the middle of the year, June, July, it's Tour de France season. You watch the world's most, the world's best endurance race. You watch the Tour de France.
How many Formula One female drivers do you know?
There was one lady that tried breaking through, but I forgot her so quickly because it was literally more than 10 years ago that she tried to break through.
Yeah.
There was
That's because, Formula One, you are turning a car at 200 kilometers an hour. That's a lot of G-force for a female body. It will wreak havoc.
No, but Helmut, there was, what's the woman's name that was in the American version of Formula One?
NASCAR.
No, not NASCAR.
Yeah.
They call it IndyCar racing. Yes, IndyCar.
IndyCar.
They look weird, but imagine now instead of, they look weird, Helmut. They're slightly smaller than the F1 cars.
Yeah.
Smaller
than the F1, that would be a go-kart.
No, I'm not talking about that small, toch man. I'm talking about in terms of the body, the shape of the car, of an IndyCar. An IndyCar, and they use Ford and, what's the other engine that they use? It's a Ford engine and another engine that they use. The IndyCar races, and they just race in the US.
Yeah.
Even though there is an F1 race that takes place, there are two F1 races that take place in the US, IndyCar only races in the US. They just tour the US. The downside is they had a woman's race car driver there. But the thing is, just like you mentioned, the technicalities in terms of what a race driver goes through, the G-force.
That's
a lot. The gravitational force on their body. She could only participate there. And I only remember that woman. What was her name? Lana or Donna or something of that nature. It wasn't Ronda. Ronda Rhimes was the UFC or MMA fighter. But that's all she could do. Dana White. No, is it Dana White? Isn't that a man? Yeah, but anyway, she could only race there. Why? Because the dad owned the racing team.
All you just have to do is look at, what Formula One, what type of exercise the Formula One drivers had to go through.
Yeah, no, they have to. Hamilton is now almost 40.
Then you can just see that this is intense.
Yeah, Hamilton
unfortunately, it's all going to come down to anatomy.
Yeah, Hamilton is almost 40, ne?
Yeah.
Hamilton, Lewis's diet every day. And remember, you grow shorter as a race car driver.
Yeah, because then of I don't want to participate in the race car. No.
You grow shorter. Guess who found out that discussion?
I'm going to come out like Tyrion Lannister.
The PUBG, no, I almost said PUBG. The Top Gear guys. The first three before they were fired by BBC.
Yeah.
Clarkson,
Hammond
and May.
James, yeah.
They discovered from interviewing a guy in one of the experiments that they did in France. That guy became 5 centimeters shorter.
Ad break.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting. To moments shared and good vibes. Anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect. Easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. We're just a minute past the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. But let's just wrap this up with.
I got the answer. Look at HD even giving me, off air. Yeah, Danica Patrick was the woman's driver from IndyCar Racing, the American woman.
Yeah.
She's the only driving a car, a race car, that goes at those speeds. Not the woman, there's another woman that was in...
Formula One?
No, not Formula One. The other one, the other American thing that you mentioned.
NASCAR.
There was another one. But a NASCAR is a Camry. That's your everyday car.
Yeah.
Okay, that Camry reaches 300 kilometers.
It's a lot of horsepower.
It's a lot of speed.
Road illegal.
Yeah, they custom build a V8 into that car. But anyway, so yeah, even then, Helmut. So the consideration of this interministerial discussion, what you and I just now did in this whole 1.5 hour, we broke down the various economic dimensions that this interministerial discussion has to take forward, that the AU has to consider. Because there are so many countries in Africa that are just one sport countries.
Yeah, the main question, I think, main question that will be stuck at the head of a lot of listeners, because I'm saying this because it's going to be stuck at the back of my head is, what approach are we going to take to make, to make, female sports, competitive to the level of male sports? Because I think that's you know, that's what's mind boggling for a lot of researchers, even in developed countries. Which is why you can, you can imagine the NBA doesn't take, if they had an option, they would not be subsidizing the WNBA. I would actually think they considered a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, in order, to try, and pull the same crowd towards the WNBA, the same, the same crowd that the NBA pulls.
Yeah. But
the question is, how do you do that?
Yes, how do you do that?
How do you do that? So that's a million-dollar question.
And you know what's the next thing being hijacked in the U.S.? So I've been following a whole bunch of podcasters on YouTube, and the one guy is a former American, former USA men's national team, a soccer player, and he's been crucifying and chopping up the level of talent, soccer talent, in the U.S. Because apparently, according to the Americans, they are just too bad to qualify even for World Cup. But you should see how the Chinese fans actually crucify their national team. Yo, the Chinese fans are bad, bro. They go like, why did you even show up? Just go! but anyway. No, the Chinese fans are bad. When they lost something like 8-0 against Japan, or 7-1 last month in a qualifier match, China needed to win that match. Japan didn't have to win that match.
Did they show up to this match?
They were supposed to show up. Because,
I mean, I'm looking at the scores and wondering, did they show up?
Because I think Japan drew in China, like, I think it was like a 1-1 or 2-2 draw, something like that. And then Japan just took it to overdrive in when they had to do the return leg of that match in Japan. 8-1. Helmut. Those Chinese fans were crucified. Now, Chinese social media, if the people are this close to telling you, go kill yourself with such the comments that they throw there.
Yo.
Because that's just what YouTube and Facebook and all these companies have to do. They have to moderate the reactions of people.
Yeah, censor some of the comments. Yeah.
Censor. You should see those Chinese fans. They're like, yeah, you guys must give the money back. The money that flew you there. You must pay back our tickets. Refund everyone, and they were brutal. 8-1. Then they started hitting on, yeah, why did you need so much luggage just to fly to Japan? You guys were probably just smuggling all your fancy shopping that you did there in the high streets of Japan instead of playing the football match. But anyway, getting back from that scenario, the Americans are now realizing that the reason why they probably have a massive drop in talent between the kinds of the talent that they're getting for their future football stars is that parents have to pay for their children to play soccer. So this Ouch. Thing that you and I do here by playing with the goats and the ground squirrels there in the bush, you know, we're playing there, and it's even like, it's not even a real ball because we took a bunch of plastic bags and we put it in. You remember that bag that you buy your oranges in?
Yep.
That orange bag.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Been there.
That perforated bag.
Yeah.
And then you stuff it full of the plastic bags and you make it a nice, ergonomically friendly football. Because obviously we're playing barefoot. And then it's us and the other guys in the street, and we're using bricks and someone's dustbin and sometimes someone's gate as a goalpost. And then we play football.
Yeah.
We jam it.
They can't do that?
They can't do that.
Oh.
They can't do that.
That's like in the suburbs or everywhere.
Remember you started with Ronaldinho?
Yeah.
Ronaldinho comes from a favela.
Favela, that's like a window for it to just come from Tura.
No. A favela is literally like, Mitchell's Plain in Cape Town.
Which is what now?
Mitchell's Plain.
I'll pretend like I've been there.
No. I'm going to describe to you what it's like there.
Mm.
Where your life is in threat because someone's brother is a gangster who has access to a whole bunch of firepower.
Yeah.
So it's either you make that guy play on the team that you are, or you have to be ducking and diving through someone's yard, backyard. So those particular discussions are what takes place. And the Americans have an issue. Now the British have most also their own thing. Okay, the Brits know that they're bad. We all know that they're bad. the one good time that they had good players, they were busy, you know, roasting them in their media, and literally that the guy's motivation fell. But the discussion out of here is literally, this discussion is too big, Helmut.
This is massive.
It's too big.
Before we get to the health of players, let's find out, do they have a pitch?
No. First find out, do you have a system in place to bring the talent forward, to develop the talent?
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's basically an assembly line. Exactly. When some are going into retirement, you should have new talent coming in.
Exactly. And the thing about what we've got to understand in this discussion of when it comes to sport, health and education, the best template you can follow in a SADC scenario is still South Africa.
Yeah.
We have partially lost it, but education plays a conducivity role for sport. The Finns, they will tell you, go play ice hockey. It's the most national sport there. Ice hockey.
Mm.
You will never see me again in a country with snow, Helmut. Okay. I'll tell you today. You will never see me.
I know
me
you came
again.
Back with flu.
Not just flu. Flu did a cough that didn't leave me for like 6 months. Never again you will find me in a country like that again.
So, if the Finns are playing ice hockey, can't we play, sand hockey? Until tomorrow, same time, same place on Eagle FM. You all have a good one.
Okay, same place, same time, dear listeners. Enjoy the rest of your programming in our company. Let's see each other again tomorrow.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.